Hello and welcome to another episode of Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. If I'm honest with you, I was thinking, how am I going to do this episode today? Because there's not a lot to speak about as it was such a short week regarding a normal match week. There was only six games, but it was a bit of a ball fest as well in terms of goals. There's only eight goals in total throughout the whole games. So I'll try and make it as entertaining for you guys during this episode, but we can go straight into the first match, which is Sheffield United versus Newcastle. So, bit of a surprise victory for Sheffield United. I think it's their first win of the season. Newcastle probably kicking themselves afterwards after the game, because this was a game that they shouldn't have lost. They started off really well with Callum Wilson, had a great chance in front of goal, but he headed just wide. But to be fair, I think the red card by Frazier had a big impact on the game. And to be fair, I think it's a clear sending off in terms of his reaction for the second foul that he did. You know, he's been a professional for quite a while. I think he might have, that tackle might have just happened through frustration throughout the game. But at that stage, I think he should have had a bit more of a cool head, as it was a foul that didn't really need to happen, as it was so close to the touchline as well, which was a bit of a shame for Newcastle, who have performed quite well in recent weeks as well. When they drew against Liverpool, got a good point there a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, a bit of a strange game, to be fair. Sheffield United did provide some attacks. So Ampadu hit a great cross from the left wing, from what I remember, and McGoldrick produced a brave header, actually, because he headed it sort of backwards as well, which was quite unorthodox, and it just went over the bar. The foul itself, for me, it was a bit harsh, and I feel like the defender, I think it was Fernandez, and the striker were quite close together as they were sort of shoulder to shoulder as they were trying to get the ball, and the Newcastle defender sort of swiped his hand on the ball. For me, it was a bit harsh, but I think in this day and age, we don't know with VAR regarding the rules, if I'm honest with you. So penalty taken by Billy Sharp, who's quite a clinical striker. Rian Brewster had a late chance towards the end of the game with a long shot. Wasn't hit with a lot of power, but it hit the post and he was just lucky not to go in there. So good win for Sheffield United. I think it's about time, I guess. So they've got a lot to celebrate about. And hopefully it gives them a bit more momentum for the next games as well. So the next fixture is Burnley versus Manchester United. So I made a prediction that this will end 1-0. So far, for the last 2-3 weeks, I've been pretty spot on with my predictions. So maybe it's worth, you know, looking into my predictions, maybe place a bet or two here. Not that I'm trying to promote any gambling here, but, you know, might earn a few quid in your pocket. But yeah, this game itself was an important fixture, obviously, for Manchester United, because it would allow them to be ahead of their rivals, which is Liverpool at the minute, and Man City, 3 points clear from the top spot. So, very important game. Not an easy place to get any points, to be honest with you. Burnley is like the new Stoke, really, where it's such a tough place to get any points. They play with such physicality as well. Not your sort of easy on the eyes type of football, but effective nonetheless. From what I remember, Barnes had a good shot on goal as well, which was blocked by Bailey, and it just went over. So that could have literally gone back of the net as well. Luke Shaw, so he had a bad tackle on one of the Burnley players, Gunnarsson. It could have easily been red. He did get a yellow card after the play had stopped, but it could have gone either way. So that could have been affected, as Luke Shaw was the person who provided the assist for later on in the game. He also provided an assist for Maguire, who produced a great header, to be fair, but he got ruled out as he leapt over the defender and used a bit of force towards the back of his neck. Martial had a good game as well. He had a good shot on goal. I remember he did a 20-yard sort of shot outside the box, saved by Pope in the end. But the winning goal was from Pogba. So Rashford produced a nice cross and first time shot, half volley from Pogba. Got a slight deflection from Lautin, but end of the day, I think it was very difficult for the keeper to save that as he dived one way and it just got deflected and went to the opposite way. So, very important point for Manchester United. Puts them ahead of the champions, Liverpool, which adds more spice, which I don't think it needed to be honest, for the fixture this Sunday, which I will obviously speak about later on during the show. So we can move on to the next fixture, which is Wolves against Everton. So out of all the games, I think this was probably the most entertaining one, as there's two teams that are equally matched and play football with a lot of attacking flair as well. So the first goal was a good diagonal pass by James to Lucas Digne, who's back in the team now, produced a good squared pass to Iwobi, who finished it quite well, to be fair. When I first saw the goal, I thought he hit it with his left foot. But when I watched the replay, it was quite nicely taken, the way he positioned his body and hit from the right foot onto the bottom corner. So, good goal for Iwobi there. Wolves' goal was quite good as well. It was from a corner at Nuri, who's been a bright prospect for Wolves this season. Produced a great run on the left-hand side and whipped in a nice cross with Neves producing a half volley and finishing at the end. Neves, for me, was one of the stand-up players during that game. Definitely dictated play for Wolves, but at the same time, he was trying to score goals and contribute as well. He also had a free kick later on in the game where he just hit the outside of the crossbar. He's a player I've rated quite highly, so I'm expecting more from him this season. I feel like he's consistent, but I feel like he can do a bit more because he has such great ability on the ball. Can do all types of passes, has great variation in terms of his play. Defensively, really good, and attacking great as well. You know, he does have his trademark long shot, which he tried to do during the game as well, and he just missed the target. So he's known for his sort of long-distance goals there as well. But the third goal, which was the winning goal for Everton, was Andre Gomes, who produced a great cross from the left-hand side, and a fantastic header by Keane, who's probably been one of the stand-up performers for Everton this year. He's definitely been a rock in their defence. But at the same time, he's contributed to the score sheet as well, which is fantastic. And it's something you want from your defenders, as it's not the attackers that should be on the score sheet as always. It should be spread across the team as well. So, great win for Everton, picking up a bit of form now as well against a team that are pretty much their rival in terms of the league. So yeah, fantastic win for Everton there. So my next game is Man City versus Brighton. If you watch this game, it was pretty much a one-sided encounter. Plenty and plenty of chances. Kevin De Bruyne was just amazing. I feel like it's hard to put him into one position as to where he played. He was just everywhere on the pitch. He was on the left, right, playing up front. It was just amazing. He had several chances on goal, but the goal itself was great interchange between himself and Foden on the ball. Foden, who hit the shot with his right foot. For me personally, I think the goalkeeper should have done a bit better. It's not the right position to be getting beaten in the near post, and it wasn't hit with a lot of venom either. So maybe being a bit harsh on the goalkeeper there, but I think he should have done a bit better. But I think regardless, Man City, I know the scoreline was 1-0, but I feel like they could have scored at least 10 goals. That's how dominant they were throughout the game. I was quite surprised that the scoreline was actually 1-0. They could have scored a goal towards the end of the game, but Raheem Sterling blazed the ball over the bar. Terrible penalty. I don't know what you're thinking, to be fair. Brighton on the other side didn't really have much chances on shot, on goals. McAllister, one of their players, had a long distance shot, but it was over the bar, so it wasn't really in threat of the goal. But great win for Man City, who are definitely picking up momentum right now. They're third in the league, where I believe they have a game in hand and only 4 points off the top. So for me, you know, it's at the minute everyone is talking about Liverpool, Manchester United, but for me, Man City are right up there as well. They are breathing down both of the teams' necks right now. So yeah, expect some changes, I think, in the next few weeks with regards to the table, because it's been one of those seasons where there's a new leader or a new challenger every month. So for me, I don't see that changing in the next few months. It's just one of those strange, strange seasons this year. So the next game we can speak about is Tottenham. Tottenham are a funny team. They always start really well. But in this game, I think they weren't clinical at all in goal, in front of goal, sorry. And in particular, Son, who's a player I really rate. And I don't like to criticise him, but he had so many chances throughout the game where I feel like he could have at least got 2-3 goals. Like, it was not the easiest chances, but they were pretty much in front of goal. I remember he had a header as well that was pretty much pinpoint. But I'll give it to Areola. He produced a great save from that. Had a chance in the first half as well. And Areola was saving it again. So, yeah, for me, he could have done a bit better in terms of finishing ability. But the goals itself, Reguilon, who's a fantastic left-back, I think he's just getting used to the speed of the Premier League right now and getting used to the way how Tottenham are playing. But he's a fantastic player, provides such great width on the left-hand side, but his crossing ability is probably one of the best in the league, if I'm honest with you. And that was proof with regards to his cross to Harry Kane, who produced a nice diving header and scored a goal for his team there. And then, yeah, so Fulham, they've been picking up a lot of points in recent weeks. I think, including myself, I think they were favourites to go down. But at the minute, they're showing a fighting spirit, which probably no one saw, if I'm honest with you. Probably Scott Parker saw it in terms of what he was seeing in training, but it wasn't evident in the performances that they were producing in the early parts of the season. But fantastic goal for them. Their substitute Lookman, I believe, should have started the game, but maybe he wasn't fully fit to do so. Produced a great cross on the left-hand side, and Cavalero finishing with a great leaping header. For me, it was a deserved point, but I feel like Tottenham played well enough to score a number of goals and actually win the game. But that takes nothing away from Fulham. I think the way they defended, the way they played, they had a couple of chances towards the end as well. Loftus-Cheek had a chance towards the end where he hit it straight at the keeper. So it could have gone either way. But yeah, for me, Tottenham are losing a bit of momentum right now. You know, a couple of months ago, we were saying they were title contenders. I think at this minute, it's probably difficult to see it in that way. But, you know, like I said earlier on, it's a funny season, so you never know how the next few weeks pan out for the top six challenges, I should say. So last game is a 0-0 result. Arsenal and Crystal Palace, two London teams here. Not much to talk about, if I'm honest with you. I think Eze, for me, stood out in terms of Crystal Palace, where he was pretty much dictating play, definitely tried to be the creative spark in the team. Did produce a nice free kick where Tompkins hit the crossbar. So that was quite unlucky for Palace not to get the lead from there. Mitchell as well, their left back, who produced a great cross to Benteke. Nicely saved by Leno. So it wasn't a very difficult save, to be honest. But Arsenal weren't to their sort of best as well in terms of their attacking play. Nathan Lyles had a chance where he showed great ability on the ball in terms of his footwork. Dribbled around two defenders, but hit the shot straight at the goalkeeper. So for me, that was never going to challenge for a goal there. But end of the day, I'd say that's probably a fair result in terms of how they're playing. But yeah, I still think it's a good point for Arsenal, considering where they were a few weeks ago. I think it could have been a place where they could have been they could have been fighting relegation. It was that kind of season for them where I think fans were losing hope as well regarding how they were playing. But they managed to knock up a lot of points. So yeah, a bit interrupted by my graphic here. So this is my team of the week that I wanted to quickly go through as well. So I mentioned Areola early on, who for me had a great game. And I had him last week as well, my last match week. It's been such a long time since I filmed an episode. I feel like it was such ages ago. But yeah, so if my last match, he was my goalkeeper as well. So for me, produced some great saves and probably kept Fulham in the game where they were able to gain that point. So for me, deserves to be in the team. My defence, three, well, not traditional centre-backs apart from Keane there, but Reguilón for me, fantastic performance for Tottenham. Great assist for the goal to Harry Kane. So that's why he's in my team of the week. Keane for me, in terms of the defensive ability, has been fantastic for Everton this season and topped it off nicely with a nice goal over the weekend as well. Cancelo for me has been one of the best performing right backs in the league this season by a mile, I'd say. Continues to bombs down the right hand flank and produces great ability to cross the ball from different angles. And for me, he was trying to do that throughout this game as well. Man City probably just didn't have their shooting boots on the day where I feel like they should have got they had so many chances. They could have got double figures. That's how dominant they were throughout the game. So that's why he's in my defense there. So my four in midfield, some probably aren't in their orthodox position, I'd say, but you know, this is more or less like a fantasy team. I'm just trying to fit everyone in based on their performances here. So Eze, for me, I feel like if you watched our episodes, you'll know I'm a big fan of his. He's pretty much in my team in most weeks because I'm just in awe in terms of how he plays. He's such a great player for such a young age as well. And he's just showing great ability coming from the Championship, but he's performing in the Premier League like he's been doing it for a long time. So for me, he's definitely one of the bright sparks at Crystal Palace. And I feel like he deserves to have a place in my team this week. Pogba as well, who's definitely improved in terms of his performance in the last few weeks. Playing in deeper positions as well, so playing at the DM sometimes as well. Working hard for the team, which is good to see. And, you know, topped it off by scoring the winning goal over the week. I shouldn't say weekend, because on the weekend. So over the week. So yeah, fully deserves to be in my team of the week there. Neves, for me, was one of the stand-up performers during that game against Everton. Fantastic player, fantastic ability on the ball. Unlucky not to score a free kick towards the end of the goal. Could have equalised for the team. But nevertheless, great player for the team and fully deserved it based on his performance over the week as well. Kevin De Bruyne, fantastic performance against Brighton. Just ran the show. I'm just unlucky not to score more goals, in my opinion. Probably should have taken the penalty as well, to be fair. But yeah, I think the points were always in the bag, so there was no sort of threat in terms of that aspect there. But yeah, fantastic player. Fully deserves to be in my team as well. So on the right-hand side, I've got Foden. So a player that's been in and out of the Man City team. But I feel like whenever he does play, even if that's from starting the game or coming on as a sub, he's always producing the goods for me, in my opinion. He's always effective, has an impact in the game, isn't just passing the ball sideways. He's trying to play forward by producing great through balls, and he's trying to make his presence known in the team that, you know, he's ready to be playing week in, week out. So for me, as long as he continues to work hard for the team and also in training, I'm sure he'll be starting player for Man City for years to come. I can see him next season having more of a important role for the team. So, but in regards to this week, fully deserves to be in the team for this match week here. I've got Rashford on the left-hand side, who's, for me, been one of the standout performers for Manchester United. Produced an assist here as well, scored a winning goal against Wolves the other day as well. So for me, has been playing an important role in terms of how United are. You know, I think Fernandes gets most of the plaudits as he's scoring penalties here and there or produces standout performances. But for me, Rashford has to be spoken about as well. I'm not sure how United fans feel about that. I'd love to hear your opinion on that. But for me, he's definitely been one of the best players for United this season. So that's why I've got him in the team here. Harry Kane scored a great diving header over the week. And yeah, for me, pretty much dominant in terms of how he plays. Very consistent in terms of producing the goods regarding goals and assists now as well. He's got a lot of assists this season as well. So definitely if you're playing your fantasy football, you'd definitely like to have him in your team. So speaking of fantasy football, we can quickly speak about that as well. So, bit of a tricky week. So, I think most people did this as well. I think everyone chose to use their free hit option, as a lot of teams weren't playing this week. So, Liverpool, for example, weren't playing. So, had to be a bit tactical in terms of who I selected in the lineup. I ended up getting 48 points, which wasn't over the moon about, but it's still better than nothing, I guess. But there was one gentleman in our league who had a great result, to be fair. It's Mark Holgate, who had 64 points. So Mark, I believe, was on our viewer calling session a few weeks ago as well. So big Southampton fan here. So well done, Mark. Fully deserved to be manager of the week this week. So let's see how you perform in the coming weeks in our Fantasy Premier League as well. As it's January right now, I'm sure, to be fair, there's not that many rumours that are around at this stage. Normally you'd get stories left, right and centre, but it's been, I think it's because of the current climate in terms of the world right now. Finances aren't that high for a lot of clubs. So I think clubs are being very careful in terms of how they're spending their money, or if they're able to do so, maybe look out for loan deals at this stage, which isn't the easiest sort of deal to get done at this part of the season. So, yeah, bit of a strange sort of window, I'd say. Not a lot of dealings that have been happening, but we can quickly speak about some of the stories that I've come across or stood out for me. So we start with the first one. It's Eder Militao to Liverpool. So this is a Brazilian centre-back who joined Real Madrid from Porto, I think, 2-3 years ago. In terms of his playing ability, fantastic player. Has great pace for a centre-back who can also play on the right-hand side, but can also play on the left. Like, he has played as a left-back and done a pretty good job. Has a great aerial ability. He's not the tallest. I believe he's around 6 foot, but he's very strong in the air. And he's great at covering the other centre-back and great with his tackling as well in terms of his timing. So for me, at this stage, Liverpool probably want any centre-back right now. And that's that's the honest truth. But he's a player I do really rate, and I have rated for a few years, as we were actually one of the clubs that were trying to sign him before he went to Real Madrid. So he's definitely a player that has been under the radar regarding the transfer board at Liverpool. So for me, he wouldn't be he wouldn't be someone that they're not aware of. It's someone they know what he's capable of. And at this stage as well, he's currently available on loan, actually. So I believe the fee is 2.5 million for the remaining 6 months of the season. And you get the option you get the option to potentially sign him. The reports right now is that it will be a 40 million deal at the end of the loan period. So for me, it's such a, when in terms of how I do my verdicts here, it's a bit hit and miss for me, because my heart is saying one thing, my head is saying something. So my head is saying that it won't happen, and that's only because of the owners at Liverpool, their stance right now, where they haven't said much in terms of what they are or what funds are available right now at this stage. And we're, as fans, we're getting the impression that they may not be willing to spend at this stage, as there's probably plans to buy a particular centre-back in the summer. Maybe someone like Upamecano, who's got a release clause. So that money is probably saved for that sort of signing later on this year. But if you look at the season, I think if we don't sign a centre back, it will have a major impact on our season. I still feel like we'll be up there, and I'm confident that my team will do it. But you're reducing your chances by not recruiting at this stage. So I would like to say thumbs up. So I'm going to try and be optimistic here, and I just say thumbs up. This is what I'm hoping it would happen. But at this stage, I don't know. Because at the minute, we're not really hearing the news from sort of official sources. It's just, at the minute, it's just transfer talk right now. So remains to be seen. I'm really hoping this is the player that Liverpool signed in this window. If not, I'll be quite disappointed, if I'm honest with you. But yeah, we can simply move on from there. So another player that's been linked to the Premier League is Patson Daka to West Ham. So West Ham, for me, surprisingly sold Sebastian Haller last week to Ajax for around 22 million, I believe it was. Definitely didn't see that coming. I thought he was doing quite well for the team. Not entirely sure what were the reasons as to why he left, but clearly maybe it didn't appeal to David Moyes in terms of his play, or maybe just wasn't enjoying his spell at the club. So they're linked with Patson Daka, who's a striker from Red Bull Salzburg. A player I'm familiar with because he scored a couple of goals against Liverpool a couple of years ago in a friendly. And he's very highly rated and has been linked with a number of clubs across Europe. So I believe he's available for 25 million. So that would be like for like in terms of the finances for what they received from Haller. If I was West Ham, I would definitely target him as a signing for this month. But I'll be honest with you, being a bit biased there, but I'd love to see Daka at Liverpool. That's a signing that I would like to happen possibly in the summer, because we lack a number nine, or a traditional number nine, coming from the bench and scoring goals. So that's someone I would like. Can I see it happening? At this stage, I'm not too sure. But I think if West Ham are after a particular type of striker, I think in terms of what's available in the market, and he's very highly regarded, scores a number of goals, target man, but has a great speed about him as well, can finish different types of goals. So for me, has to be something to consider by consideration. But for me, I'm hoping he joins Liverpool in the summer. So that's me being a bit selfish there. The next report is Tomori to AC Milan. So I thought he was quite close to signing for Newcastle, or I believe Everton was strongly linked with him as well. So at this stage, it hasn't happened right now. And AC Milan have began talks. That is a rumor right now. They've began talks about a potential loan, but having the option to sign him for 30 million euros at the end of his spell. So we're hearing different things right now. So Frank Lampard went to a press conference the other day and said that, no, if he's going out, he's going out alone, as he's got a big future at the club. I'm not too sure in terms of what Frank Lampard's saying in terms of his stance there. But for me, I think for the player, it would be a great move. Playing for a big club in Italy or AC Milan, it doesn't happen all the time as well. And I just say he's not getting much game time at Chelsea, for a bit unlucky, because I think Thiago Silva has been a great signing for them. And you've got Zuma, who has been at previous clubs on loan, has done really well this year as well. So it would be unjustified to remove one of the players to accommodate Tomori. But I think for Tomori, it would be a great experience for him to go to AC Milan. Even if he just goes for loan and comes back, if I was to advise him, I'd say definitely take up on the move. It's a great opportunity to play for a massive club in world football. So do I see it happening? There are strong reports that they're in further talks right now. So I can see it happening, to be fair, based on what I'm hearing right now. So let's see how that pans out for him. So another player that has been linked with Premier League move is Julian Draxler to Arsenal. So sort of the unforgotten player, to be fair, because I remember he was such highly regarded in the Bundesliga when he used to play for Wolfsburg. But since joining PSG, pretty much has been a bit part player, where hasn't made much impact whatsoever, in my opinion. On paper, he seems like a good player. Like, if you're playing FIFA, you know, he's still decent on FIFA, but in terms of reality, he's still got ability, he's still a decent player. But I feel like at this stage, Arsenal probably want someone who would come in and make an impact straight away. I think due to his lack of football, that may not happen. So it might be someone they could consider in the summer. In fact, I've actually read stories today that he's actually chosen a club and will reveal very soon, actually. And Arsenal have been one of those clubs that were in talk. So interesting to see, because obviously Ozil, I believe, is quite close to leaving the club and join Fenerbahce. So there is a position available in terms of that number 10 spot in terms of playing for Arsenal. Draxler does play as a number 10, but often likes to drift on the left. And is, in my opinion, probably stronger playing on the left-hand side. Do I see this happening? It's a strange one. If I was Arsenal, I wouldn't go for him personally. I'd probably look into... Thing is, he's available because his contract's running out. But I don't know. I feel like if you're trying to sign someone that's going to play as a number 10, it needs to be someone that's going to produce a spark in the team, kind of like how Fernandes has done for Manchester United. That's the kind of caliber of a player you want, where he comes in and he just transforms the team, because that's what they're missing right now. If they had a player like a Bruno Fernandes, for example, Arsenal would be, I wouldn't say top of the league, but they would be pretty much up there challenging. So yeah, I don't think Draxler is the one. I think there's other players out there that could do a better job, but yeah, we'll see how that pans out. So before we wrap up today, obviously the big game is Liverpool versus Manchester United in match week 19. So match week 19, I'm just gonna have a look at the fixtures now. There is a number of games, longer. I think most teams are actually playing twice a week. So you've got 15 games. Wow. So it'll be quite difficult for me to wrap that up next week in terms of speaking about 15 games. So I'll just pick the best games or the best moments during that match week 19. But the fixture, I think in any match week, it will always stand out to be Liverpool versus Manchester United. So thinking neutrally here as well, it's an even encounter, because you've got Liverpool, who have a fantastic home form right now, haven't been beaten in almost 3 years at Anfield. But you've got Manchester United, who've had a great away form this season as well. So I feel like it's quite predictable that it could be a draw. But I'm going to sit outside of defence, and I feel like Liverpool will just about nick it. Just because I feel like Liverpool have to win this game. They have a lot more to lose, I think. Rivalry aside, it's more to do with how Liverpool performed in the last few weeks, where they've been below par. And the reason why Manchester United have been able to sustain their level of play and their level of getting points is because they've been playing well. For Liverpool, we haven't played well at all, and we probably deserve what we've received in terms of our points tally in the last month. So we've got a lot of work to do in terms of how we're playing. It's not just about players not firing in front of goal. I think the general team play hasn't been great overall. But I think the play, not making excuses, but obviously the fixture list might have had an impact in terms of the level of play. So the players have had more, I feel like they've had 5 days rest as well. So at the minute, in terms of this selection, Matip, I don't know if he's available to play. If he's 50, 60, 70% fit, I'd play him. This is a very important fixture for Liverpool this season. In terms of Manchester United, not to try to predict anything here or anything like that, but if they were to lose this match, it's not end of the world for them, because they've got a couple of fixtures. I believe they play Sheffield United and Fulham next in the next two games. So they can easily get points there and still maintain their position at the top of the table. So for me, it's the pressure is on Liverpool. I have to be honest, I'm nervous about the game, but not nervous in terms of the result. In terms of, I feel like it has such importance that we need to win this game. So in terms of my prediction, I'm going to go for 2-1 to Liverpool. A lot of people are like, no surprise there. But I feel like 1-1 would have been my prediction, but I just feel like we might have a slight edge where we have to really perform. I'm expecting Manchester United to come over and park their jumbo jet and not play on the counter, which they always do against Liverpool, whether it's in Anfield or Old Trafford. So for me, I'd say a 2-1. But yeah, we'll see how that pans. I'm sure I'll be getting a lot of DMs over the weekend based on what happens over the game. But yeah, we can speak about this in more detail next week. But yeah, if you haven't already, please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe to our channel. We'll be back next Friday. So normally we do our episodes every Tuesday, but due to the current match week fixture list, games have been playing over the weekdays. So we'll be back next Friday on the 22nd. I'll confirm the time during the week. So if you follow me on social, AussieFTP on Twitter or Aussie.FTP on Instagram, I'll be able to give you a bit more details regarding the next episode. So that wraps us up for today. Looking forward to the game, but at the same time, very nervous as well. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But thank you for tuning in, and we shall see you very soon. Take care.